passengers flying with Global Air Force are now boarding at Gate 1.
Christianity isn't just a ticket to heaven, you know, and a lot of us are living that way, but it's actually being whole and helping other people become whole, what Jesus did.
It's a ticket to life.
To life now.
And here's your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
Praise the Lord, it is another beautiful day. I'm meeting here with the man, Paul Martini. And this man has quite a ministry. He's a young man. He's full of energy. He's got a great voice. I got to watch you don't take this program over. I was telling him. Yeah. God is doing great things in his life and giving him insight into the spiritual kingdom, the good side and also the dark side. You know, my friend, there is a dark side as well as a good side. And, you know, you should be aware of them both. And God is for you. He's there waiting for you. And that's the team, that's what Paul and I would say, that's the team we think you should be on. And I'd like you to listen to Paul, and then you make a decision today. What team do you think you'd like to be on?
Yeah.
Paul? Paul Martini. Hey, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Okay. Jim. Well, I mean, the team to be on is the Lord's. I mean, I've been on both, you know. I've unwillingly been on the devil's team.
On the devil's team?
Yeah, and I've been beaten down. You know, that's where you're...
You weren't winners?
I wasn't winning. I had times of feeling good, but there was twice as many times of feeling bad.
Oh.
And little did I know, I wasn't free until God touched my life. And then I decided to be on his team, and I found this freedom. And being free and full of love and his love... And that being in you is always his intent. And so that's why I can't stay around seeing people locked up, because they're bound.
You say they're in like prison?
Yeah, they're in prison to themselves, you know. And the devil has a hold on them. And we had spoken earlier about lies, and they're believing lies over their life that's limiting what God wants to do in their life.
So you had a lie. This is why you were – one of the reasons you were down in this?
Yeah.
Okay, you had a lie. Maybe tell us a little bit about that in case somebody missed a little bit. Can you just give us a brief thing? You were in a lie. You were believing a lie.
Yeah.
And it was running your life? Yeah. Just a lie?
Well, it's not just a lie, but it is a lie. It's a lie that's you know, either you have the devil spoken over you and you believed it in your own mind, or a stranger or your own family members might have even said things about you, or things spoken over you, like you'll never be anything. All you care about is yourself, or this is the way your life will always be. You know, things that have been spoken over you that you've been believing.
Yeah, and often those people that speak these things over are important to you. They're authority figures.
Sure.
They're somebody that's close.
These could be teachers. These could be your bosses, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, people who love you, and people who want the best for you.
People who love you.
But the problem
meaning
is...
Meaning well. Maybe they're...
Right. Yeah, but the problem is that it's fear-based. So the
fear-based.
Right. So say your father says to you, "Hey, Paul, you'll never be anything unless you do this." He's trying to motivate you, I guess, to work or to do something so that you can strive for something. That's the problem, is that you're striving, but the devil harps on the part that your dad said you'll never be anything.
We say that's hot.
Yeah.
So, sometimes when you hear things, they don't bother you. You don't think.
Right.
And then there's times when people say the smallest thing. Right. It just knocks you down.
Right.
And sometimes we call that, is that hot?
Mm-hmm.
When that experience, was it demonically inspired?
Sure, yeah.
Were you ready to, you know, to be knocked down at that comment? Go on.
Yeah, and by the time that we're adults, we're living out these lies that, you know, so say our father says we'll never be anything. So we think we're doing good because we're striving to be something.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what we strive for, we still feel like we're nothing. We'll still feel empty and unfulfilled. And so then we go, well, what's the meaning of life? You know, and a lot of these kids in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, doesn't matter. Here, they're searching for something. And now, as Christians, as believers in Christ, who have the truth and can see someone walking around living a lie, whether it be a homeless man or a stockbroker, we need to be able to look into them and say, "Hey, man, this is the truth about your life. This is what God always intended for you, and he loves you. And when people hear that, there's something released over them. You know, they don't even have to be saved at that moment, but we've planted a seed and that truth gets a hold of them. And you know what? It might take four times. If everyone was listening to God speaking, if every Christian was listening to God speaking, I believe that the lost would get these words spoken over them constantly, where finally they say, "All right, God, what is it? I'll give you my life. I want what you have. I want what you're saying, Lord, because you know me. You created me." Jesus says, or God says in Jeremiah, you know, I before you were in the womb, I knew you. And he knows you. He loves you. He's created you for a plan and a purpose.
Yeah, he created us for a good plan, a good purpose. In fact, that's what I believe the word predestined. The Bible says you were predestined for good works. When God created man, he had a plan, and it was for good.
Yeah.
And, well, we may be operating now on double Y plan or double Z now, because God's original intention was good. He had never any intention to promote the devil.
Right.
The Bible says that there was iniquity found in him. He turned. He perverted what was good. That wasn't God that did it. God is not responsible. He's not responsible for your mess, your misery, the world problems, no matter what you've heard. That's what I believe.
It's true, Jim.
Go on.
It's very true. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, and here's if you're a Christian and listening to this radio program, here's the thing about the loss that really freed me is that I didn't realize I was judging them. I would see someone and say, "Man, this person, you need to do this, you need to do that. This is where you went wrong." And it was like I had all these predetermined judgments over these people, and it put me in bondage because I couldn't minister to them. So God wanted to speak truth to them, and I'm trying, and I'm seeing things that I want to say to them, like, "Hey, man, you need to put that cigarette out if you're really serious about this." Blah blah blah, you know, or you know, God can't touch them. God, you can't touch them until they're sober.
You had it bad, like. I don't want to say it, but I think you were wrong.
I totally was. But, you know, but in on the opposite perspective, once I was freed, I could minister to, and it didn't matter who they were, and it didn't matter what condition they were in. You know, I believe in the church. I believe that people need to be in church, but I don't believe it needs to be because of the message of the pastor necessarily speaking the best message. You know what I'm saying? He might be a dynamic and great speaker. I mean, the gospel message is amazing, and I'm not trying to saying, but you know, some people go because they like because the pastor's funny.
That's kind of a sidebar.
Right. No, that's, I want people to be like, "I'm here because of Joe, because Joe in the fourth pew came and saw me on the side of a building, and he didn't see the needle sticking out of my arm, and he didn't see the things that I stole, but Joe came to me and Joe said that I was full of life and that God loved me and that he was going to do amazing things in my life. And God was going to, God wanted to make me a strong person, and God wanted to restore all the relationships that I had broken." And so that's why I'm going to church, because of Joe in the fourth pew. Now that's what I think the church is going to be, or, you know, what the church needs to get to. It's not about the pastor and how great he is, because he's, you know, only going to be able to do something.
Yeah, that's putting a lot on one man, because I don't know anybody that hasn't failed, you know. I mean, I can't think of anybody. You know, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, he can be a great guy and a great speaker. But what you've said is it. You got that nailed right on the center. Okay.
So we were in Baltimore. Let's do another story. So this
let's go. Now we're traveling to
Baltimore. Yeah, we were in Boston talking to middle class, mostly people who were traveling because they came to Salem, who were, you know, so they had, you know, money. They were doing what, you know, they were doing okay. But now we go to Baltimore, and I was working with a ministry who hands out clothing. It's getting cold outside, clothing and food to the homeless. And so we're in a park full of homeless people and crack addicts. And this place is so bad. It's like one of the only places in Baltimore they refused to sell like liquor before a certain time because people were getting too drunk to go to work. So I mean, so here you're walking around, and so now I don't have an agenda, and I'm not judging the law, so I'm pretty free. And so now I can walk up to crack dealers or people who I would be too scared to talk to and say, "Hey, man, how are you doing? Or what's going on with your leg? You know, why are you limping? You know?" And say, "Hey, Can I make that better for you?" You know, let me lay hands on them, you know. And so so here we are in the park, and it's a great ministry out there, and they and so they actually have an open, like, they have chairs for people to be prayed for, and we were praying for people. There was this woman, she still had alcohol in her breath. This is like Saturday morning, so she must have been drinking all night.
Yeah,
and she's
just starting to evaporate.
And she's feeling bad about herself. I think her name was Tony, and she was like, "Oh man, I got." And she said she had back pain, but I mean, it must have been kidney pain where she was pointing to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had the word of knowledge. It was just kidney pain, and I felt like her kidneys were failing her.
Ooh.
And she said, "I get these." She goes, "These pains are so bad. I can't walk, and I gotta like pull myself to the bathroom to go to the bathroom sometimes." But she said she was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so. We prayed on her. I put my hands right where her kidney was, I pointed, you know, put a little pressure there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just felt like that was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Started speaking, and the pain left her body, and she was blown away. And you know, and the pastor there kept saying, "Tony, you're beautiful. You're beautiful." And she goes, "If you keep saying I'm beautiful, I'm going to cry." He goes, "Because you're beautiful. God loves you so much." She goes, I need help. I want to get rid of this alcoholism. Uh-huh. Tell me, where can I get help? How can I get rid of this? You know, so here, yeah, we're not looking for healings necessarily because they're healings.
Yeah.
You know what? God wants people to be whole, but it's the door for him to touch their life and to make them whole as a person inside and out. So that was Tony. Then this guy who's walking by, nice leather jacket, a black gentleman, he had a wireless earpiece, a backwards hat, he's about in the 50s, but he's walking with a cane. Here, he had a stroke 3 years ago.
Mm.
His whole right side. His whole right side, he had like a drop foot because of
drag
the stroke.
It would just drag.
It just dragged with a cane, and his hand was in a ball, and he couldn't open up his right hand. And so he saw people coming for prayer, and he was just walking by, and he goes, "Will you pray for me?" Now, I happened to be there, and I said, "Sure."
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, let me see." And this is for, I want the Christians to hear this specifically because there he is. He's like, "Will you pray for me?" I didn't teach him about Jesus. I didn't tell him what I was going to do. I didn't do anything that was special. Dr. Jim, I said a 20-second prayer. I took his hand and I said, "Father, I command these nerve endings to grow in Jesus' name."
Oh.
And I command this, all muscles, all tendons, all nerve endings to be restored in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And I put my hand on his mind. I just felt led to spirit. And I said, and I speak clarity into his mind, and I speak peace right now where there's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay," his name was Kevin. I said, "Okay, Kevin, test it out." And instantly, this is a 20-second prayer, his hand started moving up and down, open. And he goes, What'd you do? He goes, "What's going on? This isn't my hand." He goes, "This isn't my hand."
Oh.
Because it was called out. He had a glove on. He said, "I got to take my glove off because I don't believe this is my hand." I said, "Kevin, God's restored everything to you." I said, "It's not just your hand. Check out your foot." And he's picking up his leg up and down. He goes, "I can't believe this. What did you do? Who are you? Can I have your business card?" You know, "Look, Kevin, I don't have a business card." You know, I said, "Listen, Kevin, it's not just your body. Let me pray for you as well." I said, "God wants to restore your relationships. He wants to restore who you are. He wants to restore everything that's broken you. This is just a sign of restoration that's coming to you."
Yeah.
And so I was able to pray with him. That, I mean, Dr. Jim Nola, he was by himself. There's clothing, food, whatever. He could have had a snack while he was there. He stared at his hand. He was so thankful to get his hand back for 40 minutes looking at it. But I mean, that's when you know it's a real healing, you know? And he's just like, and then he would go to the park bench. He would watch him and he would sit down and stand up and sit down and stand up. And I said, "What are you doing, Kevin?" He goes, "I just want to make sure. I could never do this on my own." He goes, "I knew that would be a real test if I could sit down and stand up." And so after a while, he walks away. I have a picture of it, but he walks away with his cane under his armpit, you know, and he leaves, you know, and that's just a God coming on somebody.
Wow.
But because we were willing, you know, and it's you know, in Luke chapter 10, you know, the Good Samaritan story.
Yeah,
it's been touching my heart lately. And it's just like, here this man's, he's been robbed, you know? How many people do we know out there that's been robbed, laying in a ditch, you know, emotionally, spiritually?
True. Yeah, robbed.
And here our priests pass by them, people, Christians, myself, you know?
Yeah, Christians.
Who know the truth, you know? And a Samaritan walks by, somebody you don't think.
Yeah, somebody they thought just was a dirty dog.
Was a dirty dog.
Wrong.
Right.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
They don't believe right.
Right.
Those Samaritans don't believe right.
Yeah, they're in the wrong mind.
Yeah.
Picks up the injured Galilean man, I think it was, and healed his wounds, you know, put oil on his wounds, took him to an innkeeper, paid for his stay. And so, you know, Christianity isn't just a ticket to heaven, you know, and a lot of us are living that way, but it's actually being whole and helping other people become whole, what Jesus did.
It's a ticket to life.
To life now.
Amen. Yeah, right. You know, God is a now God.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we preach and talk about way back when those disciples, you know, and when old Moses and all other, you know, or someday in heaven, someday. You know, you can preach anywhere there. You won't get thrown out.
Right.
But you're talking some real stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, wow. This is now.
It's now and it's real. And people, and you know what? The lost is open to it. You know, they don't, sometimes they're like, you're a Christian? You know, because they can't believe, because the church has hurt them. And please, I don't want to say, you know, the church is bad. I love the church. It's so necessary. We need the church as a body. It's where we are, you know, but because of people who've manipulated the church, have wounded the lost and the saved. And because of that, there's these walls up. So, you know, when I say I'm a Christian, I go, what? You're a Christian? How are you a Christian? I said, well, you're a Christian.
It's,
I'm a Christian you've never met before. Let me just say that. Or, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And the point is to make a disciple of them, you know, give your phone number to them, you know, and give them your email address. Don't, you know, love them and leave them. You know, Christian evangelism isn't just a, you know, a task that you have to do, handing out tracts and saying, oh, I did my duty. You know, it's about loving on people, you know, making yourself available. And not all the times you will be available, but at least you could make a connection to point them to the right place.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend who had the opportunity to witness to one of his old friends from high school, and he never reached out to him. You know, he kind of like loved him and left him. And that guy, that person who he never thought would be a spiritual person, ends up becoming a Jehovah Witness. And he tells me how he regrets.
Well, they were looking for something. Yeah, they were looking for God.
Yeah.
Because I work with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
I work with Muslims. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they tell me they love God. They're looking for Him. And they tell me every man is hungry to serve and be right with God.
Yeah.
I have a Muslim friend that helps me, does our computer work. Mm-hmm. And he listens to my testimonies. And then he just come through Ramadan, where they don't eat once the sun's up, and they don't eat until the sun's down. They're fasting and they pray.
Yeah.
And as I understand, they pray 5 times a day, which is very important. Mm-hmm. Now, when he's working with me, he's got some kind of special agreement.
Wow.
He can go later and make up some of those prayers, which I was glad.
Good.
And the Lord has told me to love Him.
Absolutely.
And I really love Him. And He hugs me and He treats me like His father.
Yeah.
For example, now He knows I'm a Christian and He's a Muslim, very clean living man. When I want to go out and buy some kind of computer stuff or electronics, I say, no, you don't go out. I'm taking you out. He's from Africa, from Malai, Africa.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he says, I'm taking you out. And then he tells the salesman's what, because I listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I buy the plan, the 10-year plan in case it breaks.
Right.
You can mail it back, and the only thing they'll charge you for is the shipping parts or something. And he'll say no. He puts me, I had the laugh a few times. He put me behind him. He just takes me and just stops me from talking, puts me behind him, and he tells the guy how the business deal is going to go.
Yeah.
This is on sale, and this man's going to get it for sale. So the Lord has told me to love him. And it happened by listening to a man who loves Muslims. Mm-hmm. And the fear that I had of working with them, I wanted to, but I had a fearful respect. Mm-hmm. Ooh, they're powerful. The damage they can do, all the trouble they could make. The Lord told me to love him, and he loves me back.
Yeah.
So the final part, I was talking to him a few days ago. And I was saying, well, you know, you're a good Muslim and that, you know. He says, well, he said, Jim, no, I'm not so good anymore. So,
wow.
I don't know. Baby's coming to our side.
Yeah.
But the Lord didn't tell me to try to convert him.
No.
No, not a word.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing part is that we need to love everybody. And, like, you know, when I say judging the lost, it's even judging Muslims. That God loves them so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love them because He loves them. Jews, you know, God loves them so much. And, you know, especially I have Orthodox friends who are great friends of mine, Orthodox Jews, God-fearing, God-loving people. They don't know the fullness of truth yet, but I'm not going to be the Christian to tell them what they don't know. I'm going to be the Christian who's going to love the heck out of them, you know? I mean, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's, So anyway, that's the whole point of where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One man said to me, he said, I came to the Lord last night. I've become a Christian last night. He said, you want to know the reason? The reason is that you never preach in me. Now, that's an exception because we do got to open our mouth.
Sure.
Yeah.
We
do got to open our mouth.
Yeah. I mean, in marketplace ministries, kind of what you're hitting, you know, a lot of the times in Christians, I guess, are to try to make themselves known by telling people what they can't do. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
hey, after work, I'm not going to the bar with you so that you know I'm a mm-hmm. Christian. And, you know, I'm listening to Christian music. I don't listen to secular music, you know. And, and it's really about making themselves exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that that's a good witness. And of course, not going to bars and listening to Christian music is good.
It can help.
Yeah, it can help.
It could help, but not for everybody.
Not for everybody, but
you know, some people are bar cases.
Right. It's not. It's exactly. I personally go to. I know not everyone, but I go to bars, and I have so many stories of people.
Save them for the program.
Yeah, I have a ton of bar stories.
Now let's get back.
Okay.
We'll get the bar stories the next program.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay. Do you have any words of knowledge, or would you like to pray right now? And to some listener out there, do you feel that? Paul, would you do that? Do you feel God's leading you in that direction?
Yeah, I just have one right now. this person has a broken arm on their left hand. It's in a cast right now. This person also has, God wants to heal that and restore that, first of all, give you full mobility back. And also there's that person, is going through a really rough relationship with their mother right now. I really feel like, that person, your mother has spoken, some things that not, you know, have really brought you down because you respect her. And obviously that's your mother. But I believe that God's saying that that's not necessarily what they intended for your life. And so I just want you to be encouraged that God says that you're going to be an amazing person, that he actually has plans for you to be in teaching and speaking, almost like a motivational type speaker, and that this is just going to be an example of you overcoming this obstacle. Also, like building relationships, God's going to use this experience and building relationships. And showing how other people, how to mend relationships that are broken. And it's almost going to be like a counseling type motivational speaker field for you. And so be encouraged. God loves you. And so we just speak healing over that broken forearm right now. We command those bones to be whole in Jesus' name. Right now, I believe God's going to be healing your hand, your arm right now. You might be feeling warmth, tingling, or you might start getting motion back. Go to your doctor and show it to him and see what he says. But I believe that's it's whole and healed. So that was just a really strong word of knowledge, I personally.
Wow. Praise God. Is that you? Are you out there? If that's you today, just receive. Grab that arm. Receive. Thank the Lord. Praise him. Rejoice in it. Don't doubt it. Walk in it. I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power. I thank you, Lord, that you are a deliverer. You know, you have a sweetheart, our Heavenly Father, and you love us. And you know what? We love you. We need you. If you're a listener today, you know, you need God. We can't make it alone. Maybe you've heard a lie. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody that's important in your life. And what they said, you know, was an issue anyhow. You were doubtful about it. You're concerned. You're trying to hide it. And they bring it up, and they just throw it in your face. And you know, Paul said something here. Maybe they didn't mean to harm you. You know, maybe they thought they were helping you. You know, they thought that this is what you need to hear. And no, maybe they weren't in tune with what the Lord would have, because his desire is good. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. That's his MO. Now, he also says, just in the same verse, the enemy's MO, what the enemy wants to do. And that is to kill, steal, and destroy. And you can find that if you have a Bible in John 10:10. So, my friend, we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, ruin your life, devastate your life. But there's a God, there's hope. There's a God that wants your life to be restored and that you would have life. It's not just heaven. It's not just being good, but to have life, L-I-F-E. Are you missing that today? You feel empty? There's just no life in your life? Well, Jesus came. That's one of the reasons he came. He came that you might have life and a more abundant life. Boy, that's great, Paul. I'm so glad you had that word of knowledge. And my friend, if that's you, and if he's even close, because sometimes we get close, we don't know it all. You know, we're close. We say the right arm, it's the left arm, you know. And we say it was the ankle. Somebody said, no, I had a pain in the side of my head. I got healed. Receive it today. It works. It's happening. It happened in my life. And Paul, it's happened in your life and the people that you meet every day. I'm so excited about having you here. Hey, let's have you back.
Okay.
We want to hear some good bar stories, you know. And I'll tell you what, I've been going to church a long time, and I do not hear many good bar stories. And I say, you know, where is a good bar story? Where can you get a good one?
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. You can get in touch with Dr. Jim Rome, or you can contact today's guest by logging on to www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net. Come fly with Global Air Force.